When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Cassidy Paris, and you're listening to the Growing Up Rock podcast with Stephen and Hollywood. Rock and roll.
You don't want me like I want you.
Hey, welcome to a special edition of the Grown Up Rock podcast. So while Sonny and I have been away on the Monsters of Rock cruise, we figured we'd share this interview we did with new and up-and-coming young artist Cassidy Paris. Cassidy Paris is from Australia. She's a singer, songwriter, guitar player, and she just recently released her new album in December of last year called New Sensation. She is wise beyond her years, and part of that is because of her upbringing. She's grown up basically around music her entire life. Her dad is the guitar player in a great new band called Wicked Smile, who we've talked about in the past, and she recently signed with Frontiers Records. She's been making music really since the age of 14, even though she's been around it much longer than that. We have a great conversation about all different areas of being a new artist in the music environment today, the massive influx of female artists that are popping up in rock and hard rock. Yeah, it's just a great conversation that we have. I would consider her record a very personal record. It falls somewhere in between Vixen and Lita Ford, and I've even mentioned aspects of Demi Lovato in some of her songs because they just sound very personal to me. Check it out if you have the opportunity. Again, that record is called New Sensation, and it is out now, so go pick it up. But I hope you guys will enjoy our conversation with Cassidy Paris, and make sure that you tune in the upcoming weeks, because we'll recap everything that went on that Monsters of Rock cruise. I'm sure it's going to be a blast. So here you go, Cassidy Paris. Welcome to the Growing Up Rock podcast, Cassidy Paris. Thanks, Cassidy, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me on, Steve. Appreciate it.
So you're new to our listeners. You've just put a brand new record out on Frontiers Records. We deal with Frontiers artists like constantly around here on the Grown Up Rock podcast. We listen to a lot of different artists. We're huge fans of Eclipse and bands like Heat, which Heat's not on Frontiers, but bands like that. And we've seen this whole movement of young, you know, Swedish, Australian, Finnish, all these different bands just kind of capturing the spirit of the bands that we grew up with in the 80s. You're a rising star on this front. Why do you think you get lumped into like that hard rock metal category when, to me, I listen to the record and it's clearly not really hard rock or metal to me? I think it's rock and roll, but you know what I mean? Like the guitar is not as out front and loud as in what I would consider a hard rock or metal band.
Yeah, for sure. No, I completely understand what you're saying. I think for me, it's about being like kind of a breath of fresh air as well, and kind of taking, you know, our favorite 80s hair metal kind of hookier, catchier choruses. And, you know, I learnt to songwrite a lot from my dad and Paul Lane from, he was in Danger Danger and he's now in The Defiance. So I always learnt how to write songs like that. But I was very passionate about putting a modern spin on my sound. And I think that that's something that will really translate well and has really translated well to the younger audience. So I'm not in any way, shape or form trying to replicate what was back in the 80s, because I think that would simply just be exactly what we've had. And I just want to come up with something new and fresh and something that, you know, rock music can be carried through into the next generation. I think that's a really important standpoint to come from.
And so somebody came up to you and said, what is your music? How would you put a label on it? What would you tell them right off the top of your head?
I think it's definitely 80s infused for sure. Like, for instance, the tracks like Midnight Desire and Danger, like, are very like Vixen-esque kind of tracks. And, you know, I think when talking about the album as well, it's kind of a mixed bag. Well, that's what I've been saying, that it's a mixed bag. And I felt very passionately about that as well when I was speaking to Frontiers about putting out a debut record, because I'm not an artist that sits, like you said, in that category. I'm no way saying that I'm a entirely hard rock artist or I'm entirely a metal artist. I'm very aware of that. I'm a bridging artist, and I think that the record really shows for that as well.
Fair. So let's start at the beginning with a little bit of a history lesson on Cassidy Paris. I just recently learned, and I knew your dad was a guitar player. I knew he was in your band, but what I didn't know, and I just learned, is that your dad is the guitar player in Wicked Smile, which is a band we've talked about here on the podcast before. They just put out, I think, a recent EP, and they had an album out before that. And they're a fantastic new band on the horizon for us here in the States, at least for this podcast. And so that was new to me. Tell me a little bit about growing up, and your mom's not a musician, but your dad is. Where did it start for you as a young child?
Yeah, well, I think, like, I like to say that, like, when I was a baby, or like when I came out of the womb, I was kind of like, you know, just I fell into that like rock scene. Not really, but like, you know, obviously I've been raised on it since I was a child. My dad being in bands his entire life. Like, I think he started playing in bands when he was, what, 19, 20 years old, so roughly my age. And then he's continued and he still loves it. Like, thank you for saying that about Wicked Smile. They're the most, like, you know, hardworking band I know. And they're such lovely people. Danny Ciccardi, the singer of Wicked Smile, has been someone that I've known since I was like 2 years old, and has been such a, not only a great mentor to me, but such a good friend in the music industry to have, because, you know, he's been around the block and he's definitely, you know, seen the ins and outs of the music scene and things that I would never have known without him or my dad being by my side. But in regards to growing up in my household, my dad raised me on a lot of like the classic rock, and, you know, 80s hair metal was huge in our household. And my mum's not a musician, but she loves things like Skid Row, she loves Poison, you know, all those bands that were really popular in the 80s. Like, she loved those bands. So she's like, I call her a little bit of a groupie, because she married a rock star, but she wasn't one. And then she had a girl in rock as well. So she's surrounded by it now. She can't escape it. But yeah, like I said, my dad raised me on what I would say, like, he kind of educated me in the right way in regards to music. And I feel that, you know, I've taken all those bands that I listen to, even, you know, things like Pat Benatar. My dad was very much a believer that a good song is a good song. So he didn't just, you know, pigeonhole me to one certain style of rock music. He got me to listen to things from Dio to Pat Benatar, which are very different ends of the spectrum, right? Yeah, I'm loving it, and I'm loving hearing all these different artists from back in his day, and then I'll show him some more modern day stuff as well. So it's a really good relationship between us two.
Yeah, and I mean, you have that rock influence, and your dad raised you right. God bless him. Tell him thank you. That's the first thing. But seriously, just moving on to some of your influences, you talked about Dio, you talked about Pat Benatar, but even further away from that, and it's pieces of it that I can hear in your music today, is the stuff like the Avril Lavigne, the Pink, even some, dare I say, Demi Lovato in various places, because this record for me, and for the listeners, you're 21 now, right?
Yeah, so, just 21.
So very young. I think I've heard you in the past say this record is a combination of current periods in your life, but also some that go back a little bit further, because you've been doing music for a while, right? I mean, you've written some songs and put some music out there. How old were you?
Well, when I released my first single, which was obviously not with a record label, I only got signed at the start of last year by Frontiers Records. And I released my first single independently when I was 14 years old. And I felt very lucky to be able to do it from such a young age, because I feel like it's really kind of allowed me to mature as an artist quite quickly. And I think that was something that, you know, can't really be taught within a short amount of time. Like, you kind of just got to throw yourself onto the stage and, you know, and into the industry and see how you go and, you know, learn along the way. And that's something that I'm really glad that my dad and I made the decision to do, because, you know, it's not an easy thing to, you know, be a 14-year-old and be a teenager and be putting out music. I was also in school. I went to just a regular public school, and that was a really hard situation for me too, because a lot of people in my year level weren't listening to the same music as me, and a lot of people would hassle me for putting out that music and listening to that music. So, but now that, you know, when you see some sort of success in the industry and you kind of, you know, get on your feet a little bit, then people will do it 180. So it's really interesting to see how I've evolved over those years. And for me, it's all about getting better and learning. It's all a big learning experience for me. So my dad even reminds me now that he's still learning at 50 years old. And I think that's a really healthy attitude to have. But yeah, it's been a great journey so far, and I can't wait to continue.
We have a word for that here in the States. It's called bandwagon jumpers.
Bandwagon jumpers?
Yeah. It's the people that hate like, you on.
In Australia, we call sweaters jumpers. So I was like, bandwagon jumpers. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Bandwagon jumpers are people that hate you on your way up. But once you get up, they're your best friends. They're the ones that have always. I always knew you could do it, right?
Exactly. And it's so funny as well, because it's always like, for me, it's always the people that you least expect to be the bandwagon jumpers. Like, they'll be so passionate about, you know, giving you a hard time at one point. And then, you know, these people that were in bands themselves, would you believe? So you would think that they would actually have some sort of idea of how difficult it is to be, one, be in the industry, and two, to be trying to make it in the industry. But no, because they were doing a completely different style to me. And all these people that were into theatre just had this idea that I wasn't cool enough to, you know, speak to them or hang out with them. And then they'll do a 180. So it's very interesting to see how people's brains work sometimes, for sure. I was very lucky because I grew up in a household with that, like, I won't swear on the podcast, but like, I don't give an F attitude, like, what anyone else says about me. I'm just going to be myself, and like, you know, uniqueness is cool and individuality is cool. So, and that came a lot from both my parents. You know, my mum obviously wasn't in the industry, but she's always been like very much herself. And yeah, I definitely applaud my parents for that, because they brought me up with that mentality from a very young age. And I think that kind of helped me produce a bit of a thick skin when I was going through that.
Yeah, agreed. So before we get too much further into this conversation, around here at the Grown Up Rock Podcast, we like to do this.
It's time for the Crank It Up Music Spotlight.
So tonight's Crank It Up New Music Spotlight, of course, we've got to feature Cassidy Paris, our guest. Cassidy, we're going to play a song called Danger. And I was wondering if you would like to tell us a little bit something about this particular tune before we spin it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Danger was the first single that came out off the debut album Via Frontiers, and it has had an awesome response, especially for such a new artist as well. Like, you know, I think the video is at like something like 100,000 views, which, you know, blows my mind. And people have just been so cool at getting on board with this younger artist that has this dream and vision for this type of music. So it's been really, really positive, and I've just loved the ride so far. But Danger specifically, I wrote probably maybe 2 years back now, and when I wrote it, I knew that it was something that was very different to not only the album, but things I'd previously written. I knew it was a little bit darker, so I knew it was going to be a cool idea when I wrote the riff. And after we came up with that, I kind of got together with Pauline, and I had an idea about the song and the meaning of the song, but we kind of elaborated on that together, and he put some really cool touches on the song. So I'm really proud of this track, and it's one of my favorite ones to play live, and it translates so well live.
So what does the song mean to you?
Danger is kind of about this, I wouldn't say relationship, but, you know, you're like in the early stages of kind of getting into a relationship, speaking to someone, and you're seeing all these, well, people around you are seeing all these red flags, and you kind of choose to omit those red flags for whatever reasons. And this is something that was very much like present in my life when I was speaking to this guy and I was dating this guy, and I just, everyone around me, my mom was like, bad news. My friends were like, bad news. And I couldn't see it for some reason. I think my mind wanted me not to see it. But, you know, sometimes you just got to listen to what people are telling you, because the people around you know you better than yourself sometimes. And I think I learned that the hard way, but we got a good song out of it in the end. So it's a positive.
You're one of these Taylor Swift-like people that write songs about past boyfriends, aren't you?
Well, I don't have that many past boyfriends, but I have spoken to a fair few guys and like dated a couple of guys. But any experience I have in my love life basically goes onto a record. Yeah, for sure. Uh-oh. But I think So if
treat if Cassidy anyone, Paris think, right.
Yeah. The Cassidy Paris effect. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's definitely funny, because when I was in high school, I wrote this song about a guy, and one of his friends or something figured out that it was about him, and then it just traveled all the way around the school, and I was like, I'm not even saying anything, because, you know, it's better to just not say anything, exclude myself from the narrative, and if they want to make it that, they can make it whatever they want. And I think that there is this like magic to not touching discussing the meaning of songs in like too much detail as well, because then at least it leaves it open for the audience to kind of, you know, make it their own and give it its own meaning. I like that idea as well. So yeah, I think it's a very interesting industry to be in, and to have a love life is it, as a songwriter, is definitely it's a good thing, but it's also an interesting thing for sure.
Yeah, let's listen to a little bit of Danger. All right. So when I hear that song, the first thing that comes to mind is I like the song. It's a great song. Mm-hmm. It reminds me a bit of Vixen, I guess, probably.
Yeah.
That's what I would hear. That's what I hear most when I hear that particular song off the record. Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of Vixen as well, like a massive fan. I was actually talking to Lorraine Lewis the other day on Instagram, and she's like, she's awesome because she's so supportive of women as well that are, you know, up and comers and starting out in this industry, and she gets it, you know. Like I sometimes artists will talk about, like, you know, meeting your inspirations and your idols, and when that's kind of like a negative experience, it kind of sucks a little bit. But when it's a positive one, it like just makes you love the band so much more. So, you know, the people from Vixen have been really lovely, and a lot of people in the industry have been very lovely to me. I can't say that I've had many bad experiences with anyone, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting, and I've said I want to tear down the walls and not necessarily talk female male, but for the longest time, having grown up in the 80s myself, I mean rock and roll, especially hard rock and metal, was a boys club. I mean, it mainly was a boys club. You had a few artists like Lee Aaron, like the Runaways and Joan Jett before, back in the late 70s and early 80s. You had this, but that was basically it. And nowadays, and by nowadays, I mean probably within the last maybe 5-10 years even, there's been this influx of female artists, either female, complete female bands or female fronted bands, or just, and they're fantastic. Like, it really is, for me, it's all about the music. I could care less whether it's a woman or a man or whatever, but the bands that I'm gravitating towards, a lot of them are either female, complete female bands or female fronted bands these days because of the music. So what's happening now that's a thing versus like still a bunch of dudes playing rock and roll?
Yeah, I think it's no secret to anyone that this industry was very much dominated by men for a very long time. And, you know, like you said, you had those Joan Jetts and you had Lita Ford, and, you know, you had even Pat Benatar and things like that, who were kind of, Pat Benatar was a bit more of a bridging artist, but, you know, still kind of existed within that hard rock scene as well to an extent. So I think it's very interesting because there's, like, I do believe a new wave of females that are coming into this scene very quickly. And I love speaking to the females in this scene as well because they're so passionate about this type of music. I know there's bands like Clash. I know there's bands like The Warning that are doing great things for females in rock. And I think, you know, having conversations with those type of females to band together is really important. And I know that a lot of the females that I've spoken to in the United States and the UK have been really, really supportive of each other. And that's great to see as well, that females can support other females. I think that's a really important thing. And it's a very, in a way, I think for me, my career prior to meeting people internationally, it had been kind of a taboo thing as well. Like, for me, it's always been very hard for me to make friends and stuff because people, you know, either kind of experience that sense of jealousy or, you know, people don't want to support. And I'm a very supportive person. I'll go out to see any band and try to support as much as I can on social media because I get how hard this industry is, you know. You need as many supportive people as you want, as you can get around you in order to try and, you know, push what you're going for. But it's definitely a really cool time to be alive for a female rocker because there are so many young girls doing it, and girls in my age bracket that are, you know, like 18, 19, 20. It's great. It's really refreshing. You know, I grew up with Taylor Momsen, listening to Taylor Momsen and listening to Lizzie Hale. Those were, like, you know, my kind of, you know, Joan Jetts and things like that as well. I listened to, of course, but I listened to a lot of modern stuff too, which was fantastic that girls like that were inspiring people like me because it makes the industry less dominated by men, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's a massive amount and more popping up every day, whether it's bands like Thunder Mother and now, you know, the Gems that broke off of Thunder Mother. They just put out a fantastic record. And I don't know if you've ever heard of, they're from here in the States. Are you familiar with the band Paralandra?
No, I'm not actually.
This is your homework, Cassidy. Go look up Paralandra because, and here's why I say this. She's an amazing guitar player, singer, front woman, but mm-hmm. her dad is in the band with her and is a guitar player. And she's not as young as you. She's probably a good 8 years older than you. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is their album is amazing and rocking, and just, you know, she has some very serious subjects on it and things like that. Cool. So I would definitely encourage you to check them out. But there's a massive amount, and it's refreshing to see not just singers and see people that are playing actual instruments. Like that's really important to me as a fan, is to see people picking up actual instruments and not just, you know, sitting behind some Pro Tools and some pitch changers, and anybody can put out a record sitting in their basement, you know?
Sure. Very true.
You started playing guitar, which probably came from your father, and then you sort of started singing after that, correct?
Yeah, that's definitely correct. And I think most of the reason for that as well is obviously that my dad played guitar. So that is my dad's main instrument. And he does a bit of backing vocals from time to time, but he's not a singer. And he definitely kind of educated me on how important it is to be able to sing in this industry as well. And that's something that I think my dad learned later on in his career, and he had to learn to sing and that's a lot harder to learn to sing when you're of a certain age to be completely like blatant about it. But so I started guitar, and I probably was going to go down that route, to be honest, for a very long time. And then as like a lead guitarist. And then I kind of spoke to my dad and I was like, look, I love singing and I'm really enjoying this. Is there any potential that I can, you know, take some lessons and stuff? And he was like, yeah, for sure. Like, we can get you into lessons. And I've had some great singing teachers and some fantastic coaches that have taught me a lot vocally. And I'm still learning. I still go get lessons. I'm still at vocal lessons wherever I can be when I'm not on tour and not recording. Yeah. So it's definitely been an awesome kind of journey to see how I've kind of differed to my dad as well in regards to our musicality. But I think the dynamic really works, because a lot of the time I'll do the singing and then he'll play guitar, and obviously I know how to play guitar as well. I have a Fender deal actually, so that was really super exciting for me too. And it was exciting even for my dad. Like, he was like, I did get signed kind of endorsed by Fender when I was about 18 years old, and he was like, you're 18 years old and you have a better Fender deal than I do, because he's signed to Jackson, which is a kind of like a branch of Fender. And it's just been a really, really cool journey so far, definitely.
So do you consider yourself more a singer now than a guitar player, or do you still do you consider yourself a guitar player?
Yeah. I play rhythm guitar in my band, but I definitely consider myself a singer more than a guitar player, for sure.
What's the percentage of on stage time with a guitar for you? Do you have a guitar strapped on, 50% of the time, 60% of the time, 20%? What's that?
I think it definitely varies for me. Logically, for us to take a guitar on tour a lot of the time, it's like, you know, it's another thing that we've got to pick up from oversized. So we've even discussed leaving the guitar there for me in future tours and stuff like that, because we've been over to the UK twice in 2 years, and I'm not revealing anything yet, but you know, that looks like it's going to continue. So, you know, it's interesting to kind of map out what songs you want to play on guitar as well, because it does, for myself, it obviously decrease your movement or your ability to move on stage, right? Because you're standing in front of a mic stand for the vast majority of the song and you can't really pick up the mic and play guitar. So I try to play guitar where I can, and I do it a lot in my set, which is great, but I love to run around with the mic as well. That's definitely something that I've always really loved doing. But yeah, guitar will always have like a special place in my heart, because it's, you know, my first instrument. We do some acoustic stuff. I love doing acoustic stuff at home. I write everything on a guitar, like musically as well. If I'm coming up with a song idea, it's on guitar. So it definitely gets used. It's a lot in our household.
Please make sure you hit that follow button to subscribe to Growing Up Rock Podcast so you don't miss an episode.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house. And my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. Because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once, new quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month, so just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
So let me ask you this, because I'm always interested in the perspective of up-and-coming artists, new artists, young artists. It's all important these days. I mean, what is the reality of being a musician in today's environment? Because it's certainly not what it was when I was growing up in the late 70s and 80s. So what is the reality of that? Because I know it's tough.
Yeah, well, I think it is definitely an interesting kind of industry to be in for that reason, for sure. I think the great thing, like I was saying before, is that a lot of these artists that are very much like 70s and 80s based, or have, you know, kind of seen most of their success in that time, are very supportive of younger musicians. So I've never really had really an issue in that regard. But a lot of people are more take on the perspective that it's a great thing that someone wants to kind of carry the torch. And I feel very lucky that a lot of those musicians are very supportive of what I'm doing in the industry. And same thing for the fan base as well. I think a lot of people are just like, this is cool. This reminds me of, you know, like songs like Midnight Desire or songs like Danger, for instance, on the album. This reminds me of like what I listened to in the 80s. So it's very cool to kind of see how people see me as an artist and see how, and I think the growth thing is really cool as well. Like they like to see how we develop as a band as well. So it's very interesting to see how we've kind of developed over the last 5 years or so, and people kind of watch that, I guess.
Now, is your band solidified at this point? Because I know that I've seen various live clips where there's different people in and out, and I kind of get it. It's early point in your career, and I know that your dad is pretty much a mainstay as one of the guitar players in the band. Yeah. The rest of the band, is it solidified now at this point?
It is solidified. That was only as of recent. So, but I always had the intention of getting together a band that was kind of my own, and it just kind of panned out that people, you know, that were in the band wanted to move on to other things. And it's a massive commitment thing as well. Like touring, like we're doing we have on the cards a lot of touring for 2024 and 2025. So that's a huge commitment thing if you have like other jobs and stuff. And this is, you know, my everything. This is my dad's everything. So it's like, you know, a baby. It's a child to us. Like, we love music so much and we love getting out there on the road as much as possible. And I just feel very privileged. He actually couldn't be here today. He was supposed to be in this interview, hence why the chair is here, because he was there yesterday. But my my current bassist, Tom Rogowski, and his brother, Alex Rogowski, are in the Cassidy Paris band, and they love it. They work so, so hard behind the scenes and on stage. They're awesome. And I feel very lucky to not only have found friends in the industry that are so young, you know, Tom's 22 and Alex is 24, but, you know, I feel very lucky that I've found people that are committed to this, because...
That's what I was saying, though, to interrupt you. This is part of the environment that I was talking about. It's tough for people, because the reality is that the majority of musicians in a position like you, where you're not Def Leppard, right?
Yeah.
You're not Metallica.
Yeah.
You have to have a job. You have to have regular job that pays your bills. And it's great to think of the old days and getting in a bus and touring for months on end and all that stuff. That's fantastic. But the reality is that most people can't commit to that because they have no way of paying bills, and being on tour at this level doesn't pay the bills. You know, it's very expensive. So
It's super expensive. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't really understand when, you know, when you're on tour and stuff, that it's not easy to be on tour. It's not, you know, as much as social media puts it out as fun and games every second of the day, you know, a lot of it's traveling in a van for 7 or 8 hours, and, you know, and then it's setting up all your equipment and, you know, getting things together that aren't working, you know, like, it's just, every day is a new day on touring, and there's always some sort of obstacle that you kind of have to overcome on most tours. I mean, not probably every tour, but most tours.
Every tour, Cassidy.
Yeah, I think definitely every tour as well. But yeah, it's definitely very, like you said, it's interesting to see how people kind of make ends meet when they're not on tour or they're not writing and recording. And when you're a signed artist, it's a little bit different. But when you're an independent artist, it's really hard. It's really tricky. But yeah, in saying that, like I said, the boys have been fantastic, and it's been great to have people that are my age that are on board and have the same kind of mentality as me. But yes, like I was saying, Tom was supposed to be here as well today, but he had to go to the hospital at 3 a.m. yesterday. So he's doing the second lot of interviews today rather than the first. So he'll be back on to speak Wednesday.
I hope everything's okay.
Yeah, he's doing well. Thanks.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit more about this debut album. The debut record from Cassidy Paris feels very personal to me, which is interesting, being the fact that you are so young. Where are some of these experiences coming from? Because as an older guy listening to this record and listening to some of the lyrics, which most of my friends and most of the listeners of this podcast will tell you, I'm not exactly a lyrics kind of guy. I'm more the where's the guitar kind of guy. So listening to some of these lyrics, they sound very personal. And so where do those experiences come from a 21-year-old?
Yeah, well, I think that's definitely a great question. And for me, a lot of it came from, you know, a very raw place. And all songwriters will kind of describe to you that the songwriting process is always different. It always differs. And sometimes, you know, you have a melody in your head and you go through your lyric bank on your phone or things like that. Some people write them down. But like for me, a lot of the time it's like, it just pours out of me a little bit. And it's kind of like, you know, a therapy for me. When I was going through a bit of bullying in high school and people were hassling me and stuff, that's when I wrote my song Stand. And I think that's one of the most raw and authentic songs that is on the album. And I kind of felt very passionately about having that on the album, because I think it's definitely shaped my career, and a lot of people have been able to relate to that on a personal level, whether that be in the sense of bullying or just overcoming an obstacle. So it's definitely a combination of all these experiences that I had, not only in high school, but more in my young adulthood as well. So it kind of differs. And I think that also as you get older, you kind of become a stronger songwriter as well, of course. So in a lot of ways. So it's been interesting to see how, like, you know, Danger, which is a more recent song that I wrote, is very different to like Stand or, you know, Like I Never Loved You, because it's less recent. But yeah, I really enjoy it. And I do it because I love it, not because, you know, of anything else.
That's awesome. The new debut album by Cassidy Paris is called New Sensation. It's out on Frontiers Records now. It's available for you. Go pick it up. Before I let you go, Cassidy, we got to talk some Aussie slang. Give us some Aussie slang that we should know here in the States.
We just shorten everything. Like barbecue is like Barbie.
Yeah.
You know? Like everything is kind of shortened here. My guitarist was over the other day, and I don't know if you guys are the same in the USA, but he laughed out loud when he saw our postman come through, because he comes on his little bike and he puts the letter in the letterbox, and then off he goes. And he goes, "Is that an effing joke? Like, we don't have that." He goes, they come in their van in the UK, and we're like, no, that's not a joke. They come on their bikes. I don't know, what is it like in the US?
Yeah, they have vans and trucks.
Oh, okay, so we're just behind. Fantastic. Yeah, it's definitely really funny to see some of the things. I recently watched a movie, and it just took the absolute like Mickey out of Australians. It was so funny. It's a very big movie at the moment. I just can't remember what the title was. And do you use the word bloke?
No, well, bloke is an English term, is it not?
Is it? Is it an English term?
I think that's
maybe,
more.
Maybe it is. We say like whoop whoop, meaning like that's not really like a big thing. You're driving to whoop whoop, which means like the other side of like wherever, like which means like the bush or the outback, like you're driving for a long time.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of other things that are probably really Australian. And if any Australian ever listens to this podcast, they're probably going to be like, she's not Australian.
All right, Cassidy, I appreciate your time. I know you got to get on for some other interviews. Thank you so much for coming on the Grown Up Rock podcast. We appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, Stephen. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been a great chat.
Cheers.
Thank you. See you later.
That's the show. So let's shuffle, rattle, and roll us out of here. Until next week. Always remember, peace, love, and rock and roll. Like what you're hearing? Share this episode out. Post it to your favorite social network and let people know you're listening to the Growing Up Rock podcast. It will help us grow, and we greatly appreciate it. Growing Up Rock is a proud member of the Pantheon Network. Pantheon is the place for music lovers. Check us out along with many other great music podcasts on the Pantheon Podcast Network.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.